If your child comes to you and their arm is normally straight and you're seeing a bend, I think it's time to come to the emergency department.
Are you raising your family while also feeling like you're still growing up yourself? Do you wonder if you are getting it right? Or do you ask, where's the roadmap to building a happy, healthy life? Welcome to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. She's a pediatrician and a mom, and she helps the whole family.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sarah Adams, a board-certified pediatrician, but I'm not your pediatrician. Feel free to use my podcast as helpful information, but in no way do I intend my podcast to replace the advice of your physician. Your physician knows you and is in the best position to provide medical advice. One of the most frightening moments being a parent is facing an emergency room. The first time having to go to the emergency room is about as stressful for an adult as it is for a child. That's why I'm glad to have here with us today Dr. Jordy Wells, pediatric emergency room physician at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. She focuses on the most pressing issues in emergency medicine and healthcare today. Welcome, Jordy.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm so happy to be here.
You know, we're talking, Jordy, about those moments every parent dreads, the ER visits, yes, accidents, and keeping the little one safe. So let's navigate that emergency room. When someone is heading in, what should they bring with them when they bring their child in?
Well, I think that you're right. I always say that everybody comes to the emergency room. It is not what was on their plan for today. They had a lot of other things that they wanted to do with their family, but they ended up here. So what I like to say is what's really important to help us take care of your child in their emergency is having their medical records. A lot of the times, they may be already integrated into our system, and that makes it kind of easy. But sometimes you're on vacation and you came and we had an incident. So if you have your medical records, that can be important. Having any medications that your child may take regularly can be very helpful to us. And really, any comfort items that children might have that help them feel more comfortable and you know that are special to them, because we can help use that in our exam as we start to build a relationship, because it's likely the first time they're ever meeting me as a doctor in the emergency room. So we got to build that relationship quickly. So having those comfort items can be really helpful.
I appreciate that you brought up the point about being out of town. One thing I tell parents when they're traveling is know where the emergency rooms are in your area, because when it's an emergency, you don't want to be, you know, looking for it at that moment.
Right, exactly. And summertime is coming up. I know spring breaks have been happening this spring. So there's a lot of opportunity for travel for families. So it really is important to know if you need to get care, where's the best place I'm going to do that for my child?
Yes. And then once they arrive, the triage process starts. So can you break that down for everyone?
Absolutely. So when a child and family, they enter the emergency room, they're first going to meet with a nurse, typically, who will start to ask them, why did you come in today? What brings you here? To help understand how sick they are compared to kind of everybody else in the emergency department. We take into account your medical history. We take into account your symptoms that you have, and really what happened. Because what we want to do in the emergency room, our goal is to treat every patient as quickly as we can, but we have to treat the sickest patients first. And then we go down to see who is next in line in that order. And that's really important to understand. And sometimes it can be confusing. You might see a child walk in, you've been sitting in the emergency room for maybe 30 minutes thus far, and you look and you say, that child looks exactly, you know, like mine. They walked in, they look like they have a cold too. Why are they going back first compared to me? But what you might not know is that child might be on medications that suppress their immune system. And so if they have a fever, we have to take that more seriously than maybe a child who has a normal immune system, has no medical problems, and we have to act in that way. So all the time we're thinking about all of these different issues to decide who gets to be seen first.
That's such important information, because I know probably everybody listening can resonate with that, where they've mm-hmm. seen, I've been sitting here, this person came in before me or after me, etc. But the ER can be scary either way. So any helpful tips for kids and parents to stay calm?
So I think that that's really when those comfort items really come into play, whether that is in the lobby while you're waiting to be seen, or even if you're in your room while you're trying to waiting for the doctor to come back, and in your room getting your care. It's really, really important for those comfort items to be there. This is the time that sometimes I know kids who don't get a lot of screen time, they might get to watch Bluey in this next hour, because that's going to help us keep calm while we do that. And sometimes the ER can be a scary place because we have scary things, like we might need to put an IV, there can be a needle, we might need to get labs. So a lot of the times, having the parents help explain what we need to do and be there as a comfort during those times can be really helpful, because no child likes to be poked, but sometimes it's necessary during that time. But let us know. We try to make things as comfortable as possible. We like to use numbing creams in those scenarios. Sometimes we have child life providers that are absolutely wonderful to help kids be calm during these kind of scary times. So we try to use all of our resources to keep kids safe, but parents are a really big part of that.
What do you hear most from children about what frightens them the most when they're going through these often traumatic and disruptive and painful physical experiences, whether it's the reason that brought them in the ER or the experience that they're actually having in the evaluation or treatment?
I feel like children, for the most part, are scared because they don't know what's going to happen. And a lot of times, if I'm able to ask them if they understand what's coming next or walk them through the process of what's happening, it can be helpful. And I think this is most apparent when I'm helping someone who's broken their arm. And what we need to do is set it, put it back into place, and then put a cast on. And a lot of times we use medicines that help put children in a dreamlike state in order to have the procedure be painless and also go really efficiently. And so in those cases, I always refer to myself as the dream master. And so what I tell kids is, I want you to think of the things that you really love, and things that are not scary, because we're going to have a dream. I don't want it to be a nightmare. So we think about happy things that make us happy. And I'm the dream master, and it's my job to get you there. And so a lot of the times I try to make those scary experiences, like being sedated, having this procedure happen, turn into something that might be fun or something that they can really relate to help calm their fears. And I find that those kind of techniques are really, really helpful.
And that sounds wonderful too, the just explaining what's going to happen next, because I would have thought you might have said, well, it's the needle or the poke or the medicine they have to take. But I love that you broke that down, that really they just want to know what is going to happen. And I love the dream analogy versus that's perfect. As you're saying it, I'm thinking to myself, boy, I would want you to be my emergency room doctor when I come in. Well, now they've been through the ER, but that's not really where it ends, is it? Let's talk about the follow-up and how important that is too.
Oh, absolutely. Follow-up is so important in the emergency department. We see a range of everything that might come in, to really severely injured children who might need to come into the hospital, to those who are able to treat quite easily and send them home. And so follow-up becomes important. A lot of the times, children are able to follow up with their primary care doctor, which is great. This is a person they already have a relationship with, and they can help follow to make sure that whatever treatment plan that we made in the emergency room is carried out and that we don't have any complications or problems that need to be followed up on. Other times, children might need to see specialty doctors. So if your child might have a seizure disorder or they might have a heart condition, they might it might be better for them to see their cardiologist or their neurologist after our visit as opposed to their primary care doctor, or they might see both. But we usually like to make sure that they see who they need to see to help the problem that they saw in the emergency department. And finally, sometimes it's a new problem. Like I said, children break their arm and we're getting into that season where that happens. And they may meet an orthopedic surgeon in the emergency room. And so sometimes they need to follow up with them as an outpatient. So what we do is we help them set up those appointments if they need to see those for new problems that came up. So we always try to be very clear about who you need to see and what time frame we'd like you to see them in to make sure that we're following up appropriately on the reason that you came to the emergency department.
And that is also printed on an after-visit summary. So they have that information so that they can follow through as well, correct?
Absolutely. We, on their after-visit summary, they will have specific instructions about how to care for their child at home, what medicines we may recommend that they have, and then also what follow-up they need to do. And so I think this is really important because that visit in the emergency department is really hectic and parents are moving a mile a minute trying to make sure that their kid's okay. So sometimes things are lost in translation and forgotten. So we like to make sure that you have that extra support to make sure that your child is going to be cared for well when they get home.
That's wonderful. I couldn't agree more. I'm sure they're talking to so many people when they're in the emergency department. And I love that you're breaking it down for them so that they know exactly what to do when they walk out. This is such great advice. I want to remind our viewers to subscribe and follow us on Instagram and here on YouTube. The information is in the description below. Let's shift to something more fun. Outdoors. Okay. Let's get outdoors. The weather's getting warm again. And we know, though, all the fun things that we do can lead to injuries. What are your top safety tips?
So my top safety tips are largely centered around what we're doing. Are we going out on our bike during the summer with our friends? Are we going for a hike? Are we on the beach, relaxing out in the sun, having fun? So I think about biking. I think about wearing our helmets, making sure that we're visible, wearing reflective gear. And I think about communication too. You want to know, we need to know that your child's out, who they're out with, where they're going, what their route is, because if there's a problem, we need to be able to intervene. Maybe they have their cell phone on them or some device to help us communicate if things aren't going well and what to do in those situations. Making a safety plan with our kids is really important so that they know what to do to help themselves, but also to help maybe a friend that's out there as well and how to do that. So I always like to talk about that so that we just remember when the summertime comes.
That's such a great idea because we know some of these injuries can have some long-term ramifications. And let's talk a little bit about that. Like what should parents be looking out for when something happens, an injury happens, and really making sure that they're following through to make sure that the healing process, like a broken bone, for example, is happening.
Absolutely. So I'm going to take this in two ways, because I think a lot of the times parents may not feel empowered to take care of some things at home. Sometimes there might be minor sprains, minor cuts or bruises, and those things can be cared for at home by parents. You know, if we just rolled our ankle a bit and we're hobbling, we want to do rest, ice, compression, and elevation. And so doing that at home can really do wonders with minor sprains and injuries that happen. And I always want parents to feel like they can do that at home because it's great treatment. And we tell that because it works. And so I think a lot of times you think you need the x-rays or you think you need some other type of treatment, but sometimes those things that we can do at home can be best. But when we do have a broken arm, which if your child comes to you and their arm is normally straight and you're seeing a bend, I think it's time to come to the emergency department. Okay.
Good point.
When we see those deformities, those are the times where I want you to say, I think that we should get some professional help with this one. And so if you're coming in and we decide that we need to put your child in a cast, usually most casts are on for maybe 4-6 weeks or so. And so in the summertime, it becomes really important. If it's not a waterproof cast, we cannot get this cast wet. So a lot of the times they'll might be fun out at water parks or in pools or, you know, out on the beach. So it's important that we keep those nice and dry because we want to make sure we protect the integrity of the cast itself. And also we got to protect the skin under the cast. Okay. We don't want things being wet or rubbing or getting any debris inside there as well. So we usually give these instructions at the time of the visit in the emergency department, but also we talked about the importance of follow-up. When you see your orthopedic surgeon after, they're going to make sure and talk about these things again and also monitor the injury to make sure it's healing like we expect it to. And so those things are important. So making sure that we make those appointments and keep that regular maintenance up will make sure that we have a really great outcome if we have an injury.
Yes, the follow-up is so important. And I know that it's hard for to, you know, when even when an athlete can't do their sport or if they have a cast and they know they're about to go on vacation. I know that that's hard for families, but it's so important because those long-term ramifications can be significant.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, Sarah, because I can tell you, looking in the eyes of some sports parents after an injury can be some of the toughest encounters that I have as an emergency department. I know these kids want to get back to play. I know these parents want to support their kids in their sports activities. But I will say, 99% of the time, the emergency room is not going to clear you to go back to play. Okay. So I like to set that expectation high. We are not going to do that. That again is where follow-up is important. So whether we have you follow up with your primary care doctor, with a sports medicine specialist, or even an orthopedic surgeon, those are going to be probably the visits that are going to determine whether your child is ready to go back to play.
Yes, a very important point to share for sure. So how do we teach our kids to stay safe? And how do you define that word safe?
Yeah, I think that's a great question because I think it all depends sometimes on the activity that we're doing. But I think that a lot of the times we want to make sure that we're in the proper equipment that we need, whether we have shoes that we, if we're hiking, we want to make sure we have good hiking shoes. If we are, you know, if we're wearing our helmets, if we are on a bike or a scooter or any kind of activity that requires that, we want to make sure that our kids are properly prepared to do so. And so if we do that, we can stress to them why it's important. We want to keep them out there having fun, being with their friends, enjoying their activities. But if they get hurt, they might be on the sidelines for that. So it's important to talk about what are the rewards of being safe and being able to keep going in the activities that we want to do. And what are the downsides when we forget to do so? But also I think safety is important to talk about how do we help the people around us? Because sometimes it might not be your child that gets injured, but it is their friend. And they may know something to do right away because you had those conversations until another adult or a coach or someone can come and help them and do more definitive care. So I think that those conversations of safety help your children, but also help the surrounding community because we have this open dialogue about what to do.
I would agree. I really believe that children have, I mean, we all have a little bit of instinct, right? And I think like, what is the role that we could teach our kids to really trust their instincts in playing out of harm's way?
Yes, I think when you see something that doesn't really look safe, if you're running and playing, some surfaces don't seem really even and or there's no gate or fence maybe in some area where there might be a drop-off or something, kind of recognizing this might not be the place where I can just be wild and play around. This might be the place where we need to take a little bit of care. Maybe climbing this tree, not the best idea. Or this piece of equipment because we might fall and we could hurt ourselves. But I do feel like children have that gut instinct. This doesn't feel right. And to empower them to say, if things don't feel right, it's okay to not do it, you know, and it's okay to warn other kids. I think this might be a little bit too scary for us and we should try maybe something else.
Yes, I believe in that. I really do, because I think that, you know, accidents do happen, and we have to be real about that. And one of the things that you mentioned that I'd really love to get into is knowing, again, let's go back to when to go to the ER versus treating it at home.
Yes, I think this is such a vital question. We talked earlier about how stressful going to the ER is, and we think about that, but making the decision about whether to go is can be difficult. I think a lot of parents worry that they're not doing enough potentially at home, and that they need to get that care now. And so we also talked about how the ER is a really scary place to be. So I like to say, if you don't have to be here, you know, we're here 24/7 for you, always there to give you care. But if you don't need to, there might be a more comfortable way for your child to get exactly what they need, whether that's at home, at their primary care doctor's office, sometimes in urgent care, before getting to the ER. But I will say the reason to go to the ER is if you think your child has a life-threatening illness or injury. And that, to me, I think is really important, because if you're really, really scared, we want to see you, because we want to know if that's going on and be able to help. But if your child has a non-life-threatening injury or illness that really will not get any worse if you wait, then it may be something that you can treat at home, or something that you might follow up with your primary care office. Because sometimes you may wake up at 10 p.m. and you see your child's crying. You're saying, what's going on? I'm trying to see. Maybe I'll give them a dose of Tylenol or a dose of ibuprofen just to see if they're feeling better. If you think that you have some time and things aren't going to get a lot worse until the morning, perhaps, maybe it's 8 or 9 hours, then you might not have to pop out of bed and go to the ER that evening. And you may be able to call your primary care doctor. They may have a line that you can call that evening to help get some advice. Or you may decide, I'm going to go into an urgent care in the morning. It might be more convenient, less wait time, and I can see that. So thinking about what's going on with your child and how you feel like they're doing is a big indicator of whether or not you go to the ER. But there are things, like I say, you should try at home. I mentioned pain medicines. I think it's really good to see, because a lot of times if pain medicines are able to really help your child feel a lot better, that can be really helpful in deciding whether or not you think you should go to the ER and seek that help, or if things are going to be okay at home.
I want to share a story. When my son was 18 months old, he was walking down a sidewalk and he face planted and he tore his frenulum, which for those that don't know, it's the skin that kind of attaches your lip to your gums. And being a pediatrician, he's bleeding. And of course, we're all like freaking out. And my husband, who's not a pediatrician, says to me, what do we do? What do we do? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, so in the moment, it can get really scary. And I want to remind parents that. So when I realized, okay, this is okay, this is something we need to just stop the bleeding, it will heal itself.
Yes.
And that is something to consider. So what I want to talk about is, what are some tips for parents when an accident happens, such as like a cut or a wound, that what do they need to look for to say, this needs to go into the emergency room and get stitches?
This is a really great question, because we do have a time element when it comes to needing stitches. So one of the first things I would say, if something is a bleeding, let's apply some pressure. So maybe we have a gauze, maybe we only have a paper towel or something, but we want to apply pressure to try to control the bleeding. Because when bleeding is controlled even a little bit more, everybody calms down just a little bit more. Because in order to have a good assessment, we want to try to stay calm. Everything is worse when we're a bit frantic. And yes. So that's ourselves, but also our children, letting them know it's okay. We're gonna fix this. So when I look at any cut or as we call them, lacerations that happen anywhere, if there is a cut and you need to kind of pull the skin together to try to close it. It doesn't look like its normal self. It may need some stitches. Also, if you're unable with that pressure to stop the bleeding, that's another reason where we might need to come in and get stitches. I really am a bit more lenient personally about having to come in to see if we need to assess it. If it's a little paper cut that you know is going to be fine, don't worry about it. But if it's a cut, you're saying, how is this going to heal? What is that going to look like? I'd rather you come in and at least let us look at it, whether that's in the urgent care or the emergency department, or if you know your primary care can do that service, just because we like to have those repaired within 24 hours of that injury. That becomes really important in terms of not only how it's going to heal, but also infection risk. If you kind of let a cut that should have been closed go for 1 or 2 days, we may let you know that we're not going to close that because the window period has closed. So because of that, and because I don't expect every parent to know every time when a cut needs to be closed, if you're able to get in there with that 24 hours, if you're worried about it, come and see us just so we can give you the A-okay that it's okay to go, or we may decide that it needs closure because that time period becomes important. Because I always hate it when parents come in after that 24 hours and I go, I would have closed it, but it would have been yesterday, not necessarily today. But if you're concerned, but bleeding is a really big warning sign. If we cannot stop the bleeding, that usually is going to need to be closed. And if it's a pretty big gaping wound, meaning that the sides are pretty far apart, that it would create a really large scar, I would say those usually need to be closed. But we're always happy to see and evaluate to give you that definitive treatment.
That's such great advice. What are some of the other common injuries that you see?
So we talked about broken bones, and we definitely see cuts. We certainly see burns, and sometimes we see burns that happen. Hot water, scald burns are really common in kids. You know, they pull that coffee cup off of the table, or those cup of noodles are a common culprit of those, or if they touch the stove that's really hot, then they can come in and with burn injuries that we may need to see and treat. I also think of sunburn because the summer is coming. And so wearing sunscreen is really, really important out there because you can get pretty significant burns that are painful, very uncomfortable. Sunburns are really important as we come up to warmer weather to also talk about because it's really easy to be preventative with sunburns. Sunscreen is great, and reapplying with our little ones, even if they're running around on the beach, they know it's sunscreen time to come back and reapply because those burns can be quite large and cover a large surface of the body and be painful in our regular everyday activities. And so if we're having kind of larger sunburns at home, parents can do a lot in order to help with that. So you can add some cool water over the area to kind of cool that skin down. Applying aloe vera can be really helpful and soothing in those places as well. Making sure to have our sunscreen back on and rest can be great. But if any of those sunburn areas are blistering up or bubbling, those might be reasons to come to the emergency department so we can evaluate that type of burn. Because if it gets really bad and there's been a lot of exposure without that protection, they can bubble up. So those would be reasons to kind of come in and be evaluated if you're having that with sunburns.
And such a good reminder, Dr. Wells, about sunscreen, because thinking back about the question about long-term ramifications, we know that the damage happens. So I appreciate you bringing that up. What can parents do now to prevent some of these accidents later?
So I think a lot of the times it's all about communication. Our kids are going to be really excited as this weather warms up because they've been cooped up all winter long to get out and have fun with their friends, to maybe play in their sports teams, but to remind them that of those safety measures, of making sure they have their right equipment to engage in their activity, to make sure that they have a safety plan, perhaps if they're going out on the roads with their bikes this summer, and to think about water and pool safety as well. If we have good swimmers, if we've right. never been in the water before, if we have adults around that are going to be watching children or lifeguards there, becomes really important. So thinking about the activities that your children are engaging in and thinking about what safety, what do we need to build around to kind of help prevent injuries? And what do we need to say to our kids to empower them about that? Because I think that when we use those two things together, then kids are able to know what risks are out there, to be mindful of them and try to avoid them, but also know we're just trying to have fun. We're trying to enjoy ourselves, but we want to make sure that we do that responsibly so we can get back out the next day and do it again.
The safety plan is so important. And one thing that can be included in that would be a homemade first aid kit. What would be some things you would include or suggest to families to have in that kit?
Absolutely. I think homemade first aid kits are great and they don't have to be big. And I think a lot of moms and even dads might even have a lot of these things in their purses or their bags that they have that they carry around. But always Band-Aid is never going to be something that I'd want to be without with kids. Also, I'd think about antiseptic wipes or alcohol wipes, something to clean. Mm-hmm. An injury, if we have one. Gauze, hand sanitizer is great, and gloves, we might need that. Thinking about sunscreen, I'd keep that in there as well. I would keep some tape and maybe, any gear that might be important. Like if you have some sports injuries, having an ACE bandage around, not a bad idea. Maybe one of those instant hot cold packs that we might use if there's, an ankle sprain, or even if we've had, kind of a lot of sun and we just want to cool things down a little bit there. But those instant hot cold packs can come in really, really handy. Having bug spray around as it gets warm out, really great to have on hand there, I think, are some of the items that I love. And I also always say having some kind of Vaseline or Aquaphor or some type of ointment that's general, can be used in so many different ways. Always, always great to have on board.
Yes, that's great. And cortisone comes to mind too.
Yes. Itchy skin.
Yes, in case there's a bug bite. I love the idea of the hot cold pack. I'm picturing myself at my son's baseball game and, something like that happens. And so having that first aid kit as part of your safety plan is so important.
Absolutely. I remember being a young athlete and, starting that rice treatment in the car ride home with an ice pack, my leg up, and some compression. So you can start that home remedy from the game, from the sidelines to the car all the way home. But if you have just a few items on hand to kind of help you out.
Absolutely. I love that. So we acknowledge that accidents and emergencies will occur in a child's life. What do you think are the upsides and downsides of experiencing physical trauma in a child's experience?
I think that's a wonderful question, Sarah, and really important, because things do happen. And I think that what's important about a child, about it happening in childhood, is figuring out how to deal with it. What am I supposed to do? Feeling empowered to know that I'm going to be okay if an accident happens, is that I know that I can be trusted to go see my doctor, or if I need to go to the emergency room to do so, and that I'm going to be okay. I think it really helps treat resilience and to know, because we know as adults, as they grow up, they're going to experience these things. And if they're not equipped to know that they're going to make it through and that they have to have some agency to get this done, then I think it's really important. I think it's great in childhood because you have your parents, your loved ones, your caregivers that can help you through this process, who can be that gentle support. So as a yearly young toddler, parents may be doing everything to help them get better. But as they get school aged into high school, they can start to own a little bit more of what to do if something happens, so that they can feel comfortable. If they're out in college, out in the world, they know what to do. They know where to go. They know what to do at home. They know what to do if they need to go seek a professional help at the doctor. But I really think that it's really a great time for children to really get that resiliency and learn that things happen in life. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. that it happens, right? And that there are things that we can do to help make it better. And I think they end up finding out that it doesn't take that long. It might be a couple days, it might be a couple weeks, but ultimately they get back out on the field, they get back to the dance class, they get back to doing those things that sometimes we got to take a time out and we've got to, you know, heal ourselves. And when we do that, we can come back stronger and better. And I think if parents can think about that too, in framing that, it helps.
This is such amazing information and so incredibly helpful. Thank you for giving us such practical advice and also peace of mind. Thank you, everyone listening today. Don't forget to subscribe, share this episode with other parents, and check out our show's notes for a full list of resources and first aid kit essentials. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next time on Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. And let's grow up together. Dr. Wells, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It has been so great to chat with you.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.